got 10 points on the board.
Not you, your team.
Record, oh, I think we lost about 3 games and won about, like, 7, 8, I don't know. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Yes.
Anybody else stop playing sports or anything else going on?
I got something different that has never happened to me. I got third place in a competition, and they're trying to take me to districts
for
a while.
For what?
For welding. Awesome.
That's awesome.
I have no clue how I even got there.
They want to take me to districts.
I guess that's the whole thing. He just qualified me to my welding. I guess so, everything else.
Oh, that's good.
And he's not teaching us how to read blueprints. He says you gotta do that on your own time.
Oh, that's nice. So, that's good.
And it costs like $100 to go.
Hey, you just got in the district. Sorry, you gotta pay some money.
Yeah, I was like, good stuff. Just kind of bummed about that. Like, I would go just to do it, but I'm not paying money. Just
right, and then he just said before,
I'm not doing it.
Kiki, what's going on with you? You want to tell them? Hey, everybody, listen to Kiki's story. It's really awesome.
I'm just weightlifting, and I've been weightlifting a while, and I'm currently sitting on my couch.
Cody got into the districts, and Kiki got into the gun show. Yep.
Oh, 18 in 3 weeks.
18 in 3 weeks. Oh, wow.
Way to get older.
I'll be 17 in how many days?
Raymond.
You don't know how
many days. What is
it? Raymond.
It is the first one.
I go to the doctor in like 2 weeks. And then find out if I'm getting a replacement.
I know. I was like, once you're out of the doctor, like 2 weeks, to find out if I'm getting a replacement.
Me or Philip?
Okay.
All right. So Raymond just said that he's going to go to the doctor in 2 weeks to see if he has to get a knee replacement.
Oh, yeah, because
he has arthritis. He has what?
Arthritis.
What?
Arthritis.
Arthritis.
That's what I call it. Because that's what it's called.
Okay. Yeah. So, another thing to be praying about.
If that happens, then I can't play sports probably for a long time.
For a long time?
Yeah. But that's just
a suggestion. So, what are the probabilities of that actually happening?
Well, there's no correlation between my kneecap and the bone, so it hurts all the time. But I go through it every day, so it doesn't bother me as much, but they're worried for, like, future.
Yeah, long term, yeah, it's probably not good.
But I'm not going to do it if I don't have to. So.
Right. So you're just basically just kind of going off of what the doctor says? What if he leaves it up to you? You're just going to say no?
Yeah. Because I want to play baseball.
Oh.
Nice. What if you injure yourself
more than I'm
dragging? Yeah, it's permanently like, damaged forever.
Yeah, why not just completely
destroy
it
and
then
get it. Instead
of getting
then it's
worth a while. I mean, they're
going to
take it out anyway.
I mean, there's some logic behind that. Good logic, Cody.
I have one more season of sports.
I have a story.
You got a story? Tell us a story.
So this week I went to go get my blood drawn, and they stuck the needle in my arm, but no blood was coming out, so she just like kept like doing this. I passed out.
You passed out? For how long?
Like 2 seconds.
She was like,
she didn't tell the other one? No. Okay. She didn't stick me again. She just like, it was in the middle of what was coming out. She's like, that's weird. And then she started tapping my arm, and then she started going like that.
No.
But like, mine just stuck in all the
way. So I tried.
They got like half of a mason here on it. I was like, because like my like hand was like swelling up right here. So like, because I heard it in basketball, and they were trying to see if it was, like, an infection or something.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out there was nothing wrong with it, but they took all that blood for nothing.
They put it in a mason jar?
Well, all the blood they took, yeah, because
she's saying it's, like, equivalent.
Oh, equivalent, too. I thought we were, like, in the 1800s again. We forgot to put blood in mason jars.
No, they had so many, like, capsule things, like, little jars.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Throw it.
No, but they were, like,
yes, ma'am.
I got 96 on my
camera there that looked like money.
Wow. Now that deserves a applause.
A-minus. A-minus. So happy.
Do you have an A-minus in the class?
Okay.
How did that happen?
I studied super hard. And I only missed one question because I didn't read all of it. And it was like, like yesterday.
Wow.
I have all these movies in like two. So I could have gotten 100. Like if I would have gotten 100, I probably would have died.
Who would have died?
I
never had to take chemistry.
I've been taking chemistry. Chemistry
too?
That's just. I'm not taking
it. Caleb, any exciting news on your front? No. I like your hair. It looks good. Looks good. Yep. Looks good.
I got told I'm a good public speaker.
You're a good public speaker.
Yeah, because earlier we had to like this whole week we had to come up with like a speech and do it for the whole class. So like I was like she asked for volunteers, so like I just wanted to get out of the way. So I was like, all right, me. And first she picked me anyway. So she was like, Selena, I know you're not scared, so just go up there. And I was like, oh man, all right. So I went up there and I read my speech out loud. I was making lots of eye contact. I think I got a 10, but you know, you never know. But yeah,
good job.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but I sounded so smart. It didn't even sound like me. And I wrote the speech. And I also wrote a letter to the mayor.
You wrote a letter to the mayor.
Ooh, you go. Hey. We had to like find a topic and do a lot of research. So I did a lot of research on homelessness and like organizations and shelters and stuff.
Wow.
You don't know that this week. He might.
You think? Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think doing devotions or anything like that here helps with public speaking in school?
Yeah. Because I wasn't even scared earlier. Like, I just got up there and I was, like, scared for, like, a second, but I was laughing, like, really loud. And then I just went with it and I was like, oh, this isn't even.
So you embarrassed yourself in the beginning and then it's like.
That was not embarrassing. Everybody already knows how I act.
See, that's what you gotta do. You gotta embarrass yourself at the beginning and then the only way is up from there. So you can only get better.
I feel like don't give me the devotions. Your friends are right here, so they won't judge you. But at school, they'll judge you. Like razors. Like
it's cool. Well, yeah. You know what? Whatever. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and kind of get started tonight. We'll do some songs here like we normally do. Then we'll get into the lesson. So grab a hymnal. Let's stand. All right. For your information, my voice is not the best today. I was telling Logan earlier I kind of have a little throat thing for like 3 days now, but it hasn't like progressed, so it's not really bad. It's just been like sitting there. Anyway, let's see. Logan, you want to pray something?
Dear Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Please just help us have a good time and use Aaron to give us what you have for us. And please get our flesh out of the way so we can receive what you have for us. And please use these songs to prepare our heart for the message in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, turn to number 15. Number 15. Brethren, we have met to worship. All right.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you, stumbling on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving, can you bear to let them know? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too.
Amen.
Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
All right, 287. 287, like a river glorious.
Alright.
I just hear a vibration.
No, that was me.
Oh, sorry.
I was trying to remember how this
is. Alright, here we go.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it flowing, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry, touch a spirit there. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Every joy or trial falleth from above. Trace upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Alright, I'm missing one more. You guys can pick it after this. Turn to number 40. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Alright. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with
like thee. Thou changest not the compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, born unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with our nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and of peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and thine hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
All right, has anybody got one? A goodie?
37.
What is 37, people?
How great thou art. That's a good one. All right.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Everybody there? Yeah? Huh? Yeah? Okay.
Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin.
Verse 4.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
All right, anybody else? 120. 39. This is my Father's world.
Good. This is a good one.
Logan, what was yours? 124.
What is that?
Do you mean the Calvary?
All right. We'll do that. How about that? We'll do these two and we'll be done. There we go.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the cloud of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning lights of lily white declare Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that the rhythm seems all so strong. God is the ruler there.
Amen.
This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who thy shall be satisfied, and all earth and me once.
You said 124, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Bless thy goodness, thy thorn crown brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tender with mourn and wept. Angels in robes of light array, guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. And lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Do that chorus one more time.
Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Tell me you want to praise him.
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise for the Lord Jesus, and I just want to thank you for letting us all be able to come together, Lord, and take time out of our day to fellowship, Lord, and just learn about you, Lord, and I just want to pray that you just open up everyone in our heart, every one of our hearts and minds, Lord, and just help us to forget all the worldly things and bad things that happened today, Lord, and just help us to stay focused on you, and just give Aaron the words to say, Lord, and be with everybody tonight, be with Bob while he gives his answers all those questions, Lord, and just open up everyone's hearts and minds out there, Lord, and in Jesus' name for sake we ask you, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny how the Holy Spirit works. So Logan just requested, lead me to Calvary. In that chorus, it says, lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. And so my message kind of goes along with that, where, you know, sometimes we forget those things. A lot of times, actually, we forget those things. You know, a lot of you guys have grown up in this church. A lot of us have been around for a while. Some, not so much. But it's so easy to kind of get away and forget what God has done for us, right? It's easy to forget that on a day-to-day basis because so many different things come into our lives, so many different things come into our thoughts, conversations we have with people, whatever it is. I mean, life just happens. I get it. But you just tend to start forgetting those things. And if you're not careful, you'll forget those things for a while.
And I'm not talking for like hours. I'm talking like days and weeks. And so that's kind of what my message is going to be about, a little bit about tonight. I call this message progressive Christianity. And, you know, it's funny that the world, I used to have a sociology class a few years back in college. And sociology is kind of like psychology, but it's the social cultural aspect of it, not the mindset of it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of opposite, but it kind of correlates the same thing. But they look at everything from three different phases, okay? They look at it from a macro, which meaning like the whole world sense. Like, how does this affect the whole world? Like, nations type things. And then you got what they call a MISO, which is kind of the midline, like your national governments and stuff like that, maybe even state governments and things like that. And then they have the lowest one, which is a micro, which is like social groups, like three or four people type deal and all that. And they look at it as they can solve the world's problems by looking at it from those three aspects. Not solve the world's problems, but understand why people are where they're at and try to help them out as best they can, as the best the world can anyway. But what's funny about that is that the Lord, see how the world is trying to look at it from a global aspect, from a governmental aspect, from just like a social aspect. The Lord narrows it down to like the smallest aspect, which is your heart. You see that? And God will judge this whole world based off everyone's heart attitude. The whole universe, God of the universe, looks at us down and looks at the tiniest thing to make it the most important. You see that? And it's just like over there in Matthew, he talks about, thou hast been faithful in little, but now you can be trusted in much. See there? It's all about always about the little thing. God wants us to focus on the little things because it's those little things that mess us up. It's those little things that we always say, oh, that's okay. That's no big deal. But the Bible also says in Proverbs 4:23 that keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. So a man's heart desire is the key to every issue in life. And as the world keeps looking at it as a very big aspect, we need to start looking inwardly and making sure our heart's desire and the issues that come out of that are controlled by the Word of God. A man named Bernard Shaw had a quote one time, there's two tragedies in life. Not getting your heart's desire and getting it. Because there are good and bad sides of it. You can desire to want to learn the Word of God. You can desire to want to help people in ministry. You can desire to be a better student. You can desire to be a better son or daughter, right? But you can also desire a lot of other things. And those are the things you need to really watch out for. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So there's a way for God to view your desires of your heart by lining it up with his will, by lining it up with him, delighting in him and the things of him. The book of Psalms, I think we've all heard Psalms 1:1. It's like the standard, I didn't prepare a devotion, so I'm going to do Psalms 1:1 because it's like the easiest thing in ministry to remember. And Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay? And we look at that, and it's one of the greatest promises you'll ever have. Because if you ever tracked, like kind of looked in the Bible, it says, blessed is a man, blessed is a man, blessed is a man. Those things that come after that saying, those are the things we actually really need to kind of start looking at and doing. But it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Because in Proverbs 19:21, it says, there are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So we should be walking in the counsel of the Lord, not in the ungodly. You see how that works? Yeah? Everybody with me? So then it says, standeth in the way of sinners. So I always kind of viewed that in two different aspects. Standing in the way of sinners, not going the way they go, like standing in the way of sinners, the way they go. But also, as a Christian, we shouldn't be standing in the way of a sinner coming to God either. We shouldn't be a stumbling block to those that want to actually could reach God or could maybe even start looking for Him. And then it says, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A seat in the Bible is always a picture of authority. Okay? When a king has like a seat and he rules and he judges, that's authority. In Matthew 23:1-3, I'm going to read it. It says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that you observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So Moses' seat, Moses back in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, judged every problem that came to him. And we're talking about millions of people and one guy doing all of that. But now, in the New Testament, Christ is saying that they've taken the replacement of that seat and telling people what to do, but they're not doing what they're telling people to do either. So they're kind of running by the principle, do as I say, not as I do type deal. And also, Christ has a seat. In Hebrews 1:3, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians 3:1 also says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Christ has a seat. So he's authority over us. He should be Lord over us, right? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And going back to that Psalms 1:1 thing, it's easy to kind of take that in a practical aspect and really break it down. And it makes sense. Because when God puts a promise in the Bible, if God's word is perfect and true, then a promise is also perfect and true. Can we all agree on that? But what about if you flip it? Does that also make it true? Walk in the way of the counsel of the ungodly. So it says, blessed is the man who does not these things, walketh in the way of the counsel of the ungodly, and stand in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you don't do those things, you're blessed. But what if you do those things? Doesn't that mean you're cursed? Right? I mean, if it's a perfect promise, and if it's a true promise, then the opposite has to be true. Because he's saying one way is the standard, that means the other way is opposite from the standard. And that's how we kind of have to look at it. But it's kind of hard for me, and this is why the Bible is so awesome, is that I need a picture. I need a real-life scenario type thing to say, okay, how can I understand this a little bit more? So we're going to look at the story of Lot. Who knows who Abraham and Lot was? Raise your hand. Abraham and Lot. Higher, please. Can't see your fingers waving in the air. Okay. So the overall story of Lot is that at the end of his life, he's called out of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is not good, right? It's a picture of the world. And he's with his two daughters. And with his two daughters, the Bible says he gets drunk and ends up impregnating them and basically creating the two worst enemies of Israel in all the Old Testament. So it's not a good deal. But at one point, he was actually a decent guy, because even God over in 2 Peter 2 talks about him over there. And it says, 2 Peter 2, verse 6 through 8, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. There's that word ungodly we just read. And delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now it says he delivered just Lot. Well, we know that it wasn't just Lot because he had two daughters. So it has to be some other word for just. And a New Testament vernacular, it would be a saved person, a saved man. So it's a picture of a saved man in the world, being in the world, getting into sin, loving it, enjoying it, being a part of it. But how did he get to that point? How did he get to that? You guys ever seen a movie to where like they show the end, and then throughout the rest of the movie they showed you from like the beginning, and then they show you at the very end what they showed you at the beginning of the movie? You guys know what I'm saying? That's what they call a frame story. You guys can write that down. That's good stuff. they call that a frame story. And so the frame story basically sets up the end. So it's antagonizing. It makes you kind of wonder, like, how did they get to this spot? I can't wait to see the story until they get to that spot, kind of thing. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I just did that, by the way, because I just showed you the end. Now I'm going to go back and see how that works. So Lot is in a bad spot. So how did he get there? So let's turn over to Genesis 13. So Abraham and Lot. Let's talk about them for a second. Abraham and Lot. Abraham is Lot's uncle. Lot is Abraham's nephew. Okay? And at one point, they lived in the city Ur. This is why, see, this is chart one. So we're going to focus on chart one, and then I'll let you guys know when we go to chart two. Okay? So let's focus on chart one. Don't forget the compass. Okay? And so we have the city of Ur. And they traveled all the way up to Haran. Now, Haran is where Abraham's dad died. Okay, and that's where, in Genesis 12, God calls Abraham and says, get ye out of your country and leave everybody and wander for me. And I'm going to make you find, basically wander and find the city that is builder and maker is God. That's what it says over there in the New Testament. So his father dies, so he starts wandering. But the problem is he told him to leave everybody. But unfortunately, he brought his nephew Lot with him. And so I'm sure he just kind of felt bad. Lot was kind of by himself. And Lot just wanted to go. So they travel. This is a traveling road here. All the way down here, and it kind of goes off the map, and they go down to Egypt. Okay? And Abraham does something, tells a half-truth about his wife slash half-sister. And then, so they leave Egypt and come back up. So now we're back into chart one. And they stop in Bethel. So, in all this time, there's a lot of word spreading about what's going on in the world. They see it down in Egypt, how they're living, and they're, you know, you see a lot of things when you're traveling. But they end up in Bethel, and they have a lot of things, basically. They have a lot of cattle, a lot of land, and their servants basically start bickering back and forth, saying, no, this is ours, this is mine, this is yours, whatever. And so, finally, Abraham's like, look, we're just going to split it up in half. You choose whatever way you want to go, and I'll go the other way, and it'll be just fine. Well, the Bible says that Lot turned his way towards Sodom. So we're in Bethel. Right here. This is why it doesn't make sense unless you draw it out. So Bethel here, you got the Dead Sea. This is the Mediterranean Sea here. You got the Dead Sea, and then you got Sodom down here. So just for you guys to let you guys know, Sodom, they don't really know exactly where. So we're just going to kind of say it's in this general vicinity. Because basically the Dead Sea is Sodom and Gomorrah. But anyway,
So Sodom and Gomorrah, and let's look at verses 12 and 13 here. 13, 12, and 13. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. That would be here. Right? Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Pitched his tent. So, let's think about the old school western tents, right? You got like a triangle type deal. A little teepee type deal. Yeah. And you're laying down, you wake up, and your tent is pitched towards somewhere. So every time he woke up, he was looking towards the world. See that? And so, in the New Testament sense, in the spiritual sense, and practical sense, it's basically whatever your heart is towards. Whatever your heart is towards is where you're pitching your tent, okay? And whatever direction you want to go, your heart's desire, that's what you're going to do. I mean, whatever your heart says, and you allow it to do it, that's where you're going to go, good or bad. And God will give you the desires of your heart if you're not careful. And so every morning, Lot woke up and walked out facing the world. But he wasn't there yet. You see there? He wasn't there yet, but his heart was there. His heart wanted to be there. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but just because we're physically in this room doesn't mean that all of us are in this room right now. You guys could be thinking about totally different things and not be in this room because you're not paying attention. You don't really care about being here, or you don't, you've heard this story 1,000 times or whatever. So, or the same thing about on Sundays. I could be thinking about something I'm going to do after church while Bob's preaching. I'm not in service because I'm not attentive. I'm not giving attendance to reading, exhortation, or doctrine. So I'm not really focusing on that stuff. So that's how you can be somewhere without actually being there. He wanted to be in Sodom. So, he walked south towards Sodom, right? Southeast, okay, if you want to get technical. So he walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He's been hearing about all these things down in Sodom, how great of life is living, right? Walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He wanted to be there, even though the Bible said the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot didn't care. He wanted to go. So he's going to go. And so does that all make sense? Right? So now we're walking. Good stuff. Genesis 14 now. Genesis 14. Well, some kings around the neighborhood basically want to give an uprising. And they want to basically take Sodom. They were like all the stuff. They want it all for themselves. So they gather together and they go down and attack the city. This is the next time we see Lot. We don't really hear about his journey down there. But the next time we see him, he gets taken from Sodom. And Abraham finds out about it. He gets taken from Sodom and taken up to Dan. Okay? So, zoom in, chart two. And so, he gets taken from Sodom, if you guys can see that, and going all the way up to Dan, somewhere in between Dan and like Damascus, somewhere in this vicinity. And so he gets taken. Tell me, how does he get captured unless he's there, right? Now he's standing in the way of sinners. He's standing around. Birds of the feather flock together. You're not going to get captured with everybody else if you're not standing with them. But then you say, of course, Aaron, come on. That'll never be me. That'll never be me. I would never do that. You guys ever notice, like, if you tell a lie, your voice goes high? No. Like, somebody's like, do I look good in this? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. If somebody were to come into your work or school and ask about you, what would they say about you? Would they say anything remotely connected to the church, the Bible, God, Christ?
ministry, anything? Do they still invite you to things that are not good places to be at? Have you ever kind of taken a stand to say, I don't do those things because of this? Or do you just keep saying, no, I'm good, no. They don't really say why. I had a conversation with somebody one time about that kind of stuff. And they kept saying, well, this guy keeps asking me to go and do stuff with him that I'm not comfortable doing. I don't want to do it. And I said, well, what do you say? He said, I just tell him no. I'm like, you ever told him why you say no? He said, no. And I was like, well, that's why he keeps asking you. Because if you're never going to really take a stand, you just kind of do a blasé, Laodicean answer, then eventually they think that they're going to kind of get you. They're going to entice you to do something. But you got to make sure who you're standing around with, right? They that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And I'm going to read you a passage, and it's going to kind of sound weird, but it's so true. And that word blessed is the man, right? In Luke 6:22, just write it down. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. What? People hating me? No. But what about my testimony? What about me being nice to people? Like, if people hate me, that means my testimony is ruined. And when they shall separate you from their company. Well, now I can't even witness to people. I can't even talk about God if I really wanted to. And shall reproach you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Isn't that kind of weird? Christ says, blessed are ye when men hate you, when people hate you. But it's for the Son of Man's sake. See, whenever you guys, like, I'm sure you've seen it. People have struggles. People have problems they have in their lives. They don't know why they have them. They don't understand really fundamentally why they keep having bad luck or things keep going wrong or whatever. But if you kind of talk with them and they know you're a Christian and they know, well, the first thing they want to do is just push you away because it's just like, this person's weird. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff. I don't really care about that kind of stuff. So, of course, they're going to separate you from their company and they're going to hate you for it. But when those hard times come around and you are living a life that is Christ-filled and you start doing things that God wants you to do and your life actually looks really good just because you're living a clean, wholesome life, you're going to church, you're trying to get in the Bible and all that, you're doing the best that you can, they're going to think, how do they not have any problems like I have? And then maybe one day they wake up and say, you know what, I'm going to ask. And now you can have an answer when people ask you of the reason of the hope that's within you. And so you separate yourself not because you just don't talk to them, because they do it for themselves, but it actually lifts you up. You're going to have a target on your back, sure, but you're going to be the one that they go to and just be like, hey, you got a second? Can I talk to you about a problem I have in my life or whatever? And so that's why I said, blessed are they. Because you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be living differently. Because the world is not going to go by the way of this Bible. So you have to have a good balance, of course. Don't just blast people with the Bible. And then, of course, they're going to hate you. And you're never really going to talk to you. Because you're not really available to talk to. Because you're just kind of that weirdo. So try to have a balance in it. You know, be nice to them. Be their friend. But at the same time, don't just be that blasé person either. So, we're standing, right? Lot's standing, he gets captured. And this, from Sodom all the way up to about right here, is about 130 miles plus. Okay? That's a long ways.
So Abraham actually gets him out. Abraham gathers up his servants that are over here, go up, rescue Lot, and then the next time you see him, I don't even think he says thank you. But the next time you see him, he's in Genesis 19. So let's turn there. So we walked in the way of sinners. We were standing in the seat of the scornful. So the next time we see Lot, lo and behold, he's in Sodom again. How the heck? You got about, this isn't to scale, obviously. But you got about 20 miles, maybe 30 miles, right here to Bethel to Sodom. The first time. He gets captured. The second time, he has to travel like 4 times longer to get to Sodom from Dan. And he's back in Sodom. He gets captured. He's not living right. So he's walked in the way of sinners, standing in the way, walked in the way of counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners. So the problem wasn't getting Lot out of Sodom. The problem was getting Sodom out of Lot. Heart desire, heart attitude. And so sometimes we get way so far out there away from God that God actually has to send you servants to get you to wake up. Because you're not doing it on your own anymore. So now, a friend, family member, whatever, says, hey, what's going on? And you might get mad at him. You might be like, this person talking to me about I'm out of fellowship or whatever. Trust me, like I said at the beginning of this, I've done it. I've been out of fellowship for days before, weeks before. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. So this is what we have with Lot. He keeps going back to the world, back to the world, back to the world. And so sometimes we get so far out there, God has to send us servants. And that's exactly what happens in chapter 19. So we walked, we stand, so let's see what happens here. Genesis 19:1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot, what? Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. He sat in the gate of Sodom. He is part of the welcoming committee of the world now. He has gone downhill. This is called progressive Christianity. You start being a part of the world. Hey, yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But I can do whatever, pretty much whatever I want. You know, these Old Testament stories are a great picture of the New Testament principles. So, Lot sat. He sat in a place that he shouldn't be in. And this was a slow process to watch him get to this point. But when we have it in our heart to do our own thing, you have now become the authority of your own life. You haven't allowed the final authority to be your authority. You are now your own person. I'm going to do my own thing. And just as the Pharisees didn't belong in the seat that Moses sat in, we don't deserve to be the king of our own lives, even though we try to be. We don't deserve it. We didn't even deserve the salvation that we got. But this is what happens in Christianity sometimes. And even in this ministry, yes, this ministry, Bob Alexander, Old Paths Baptist Church, this happens. But you have to watch out for it. You got to watch out for it because, like I said, it's a slow process. It's a slow process to get to this point. And another thought, Israel had come to the apostate place with their walk with God in the Old Testament. By the end of it, God was just fed up. They started worshiping other gods and not seeing anything wrong with it. They started worshiping idols, serving Baal, sacrificing people, killing babies,
Like, this is not good here. But the progression had gone down the line so bad that they are now, this is the only thing they know. And they think that's serving God. But you say, Aaron, I'm never going to serve an idol. I'm not going to have a little statue, you know, in my room with the fire or whatever. Of course you're not going to do that. That's weird. And if you do that, please come talk to me afterwards. We're going to have a little conversation. But there, I was discipling a guy one time. And I was over there, and I think it was in 2 Corinthians 6. And it was talking about, like, how does Christ have concord with Belial, or how does the temple have agreement with idols? Stuff like that. And that's what he said to me. He said, well, I'm not going to worship idols. I'm like, this is the New Testament, man. We're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about inward idols. In Isaiah 14, you had Lucifer saying, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be God, right? So now that nature, that type of nature, has been passed down to man through Adam, and now it's passed down to us. And what does he say to Adam, or to Eve, when he comes to Eve? He says, ye shall be as gods. The pride of life. So just as Israel has brought in Baal into the temple, we bring in ourselves as the authority of our own spiritual temple. If we're not following the word of God, if we're not following the principles, if we start getting outside of our means, Lot was with Abraham. Abraham was the man at that time. God was working with Abraham. So he was with him. He had walked all this way with Abraham, and he still didn't want it. He didn't want to take heed to it. But just like the kings in the Old Testament had to die before another one came on, we have to die daily for ourselves and be satisfied from ourselves so that we can have the righteous king, the actual king, be a part of our lives. Dying daily meaning that you're satisfied from yourself. You're satisfied from your own thoughts, your own desires, and wanting it just to be lined up with God. Does that all make sense? You guys are looking at me all quiet and weird. You know, back there, like at the beginning, when Abraham was at Haran, God told him, leave everybody. And he meant Lot as well. But he didn't bring Lot, but he ended up actually just being a sore in his side. And Lot was just dead weight dragging around, dead weight, just like dead Christians today. We can't really be involved with them. You can't do it. Christians that don't take it seriously, that only do it when it's their convenience time. That's a foolish way to think. And there's been some times where I've done that. And yes, somebody probably shouldn't be hanging out with me at that time because I'm out of fellowship. I won't lead you the right way because I'll be walking in the counsel of the ungodly. But this is what happens when you don't look at the very minute things that God cares about, which is your heart desire, your heart attitude. And the whole point of this devotion, or not devotion, this message, is not to, you know, say, woe is me, you know. It's good to think about this stuff. It's character building. But at the same time, think about all the resources you have here, all the people you have here, us as counselors, your friends that actually want you to do well in church and learn the Bible and do all those things. You know, your parents want you to do well. Bob wants you to do well. This whole ministry is focused on wanting to better people. People, people, people. I don't know how many times Bob's ever said it before. I'm sure it's a million plus
by now, is that if you need help, reach out, man. We're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to put you down. Because, like I just said, I've been a part of that kind of stuff too. And I know the progress and the progression that I had to take. So then I can use those experiences. Everybody else in this ministry, this youth ministry, can do the same thing. You know, we had a meeting with Zach a few weeks ago. And basically, I took away from that I need to get more involved with you guys, basically. He didn't say that directly to me, and that's just what I took away from it. We want to get to know you guys. We want to be your friends. We want to be there for you. We want to be your asset, your resource, your shoulder to lean on, whatever. We're not just here to preach at you. We're not just here to give you a high five and walk away. We want to be your friend. We love you. We want to see you guys succeed in life in general and in the ministry. But these are the things that you got to do yourself. And we can help you with it, but you got to actually, like Bob says, actually have a commitment to change if you want to constantly be changing. I work in my title at work is Continuous Improvement Specialist. You're like, what the heck is that? So within my facility, we look at different processes and things that people do at their everyday jobs. And so basically we try to knock out all the crap that they don't need and try to just make it better for them. Continuously improving. And, you know, I look at that and I'm just like, man, that's a spiritual concept right there. Because you're always having to continuously improve upon your walk with God every single day. Every single day. Because God says His will is to be like Christ, to be Christ. Man, that's going to take some work on our part. But I'm not under the illusion that kind of stuff just happens. It didn't just happen for me. It's still not happening for me. I always have to constantly reflect on yesterday. How can I be better today than I was yesterday? And with the Holy Spirit of God having that power in you, that's exactly what a Christian should have. Every single day, waking up like, okay, how could I do it better than I did yesterday? It's an amazing thing. A lot of people wait till, you know, New Year's resolutions to lose all this weight or to... It's usually just losing weight. I don't think I've ever heard anybody's resolution other than that. And, you know, they fall off a couple months. They're really good for 2 months. They eat like crap for 10 months, and then they get back and like, oh man, I should really, you know, get back on the diet. So yeah, after you're like 300 plus pounds overweight, I would say so. But we don't have to do that. Every single day, we can take the day as it stands and be like, how can I be better for you, Lord? And don't do it just for yourself. Do it for the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for your parents. You're not doing it for us. You're not doing anything but for Him. Do all things under the glory of God. Right? And so, I hope that kind of makes sense to you guys. I thought that was pretty cool. God showed me that a while back. But it's understanding, making sure that you just self-examine yourself every single day and just see where you're at with Him. All right? All right, I love you guys, and that's all I have for you tonight. Kind of stopped a little short. But I'll pray, and you guys can talk amongst yourselves, I guess. Father, thank you so much for everything you do for us, Lord. I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to show what you have given to me and what you have shown me through my own life, Father, and the things that we need to take heed to in our lives and just the friends we hang out with and the extracurricular activities that we get into, Lord, that we may make sure that, you know, our relationship with you is as solid as it can be.
And Lord, I know that we're human, we're frail, we're going to fall, we're going to crash and burn sometimes, but Lord, you've shown me that failing is just giving up. You're never going to fail. We're never going to fail if we just keep on going, get back up and do it again. And Lord, I just pray that that everyone in this room took away something from the message that you've shown me, and that I hope I delivered it plainly and true and honestly, Lord, with a sincere heart. And Father, I just pray that you just let these kids know that we love them and we want to be there for them. We want to help them in times that maybe we've gone through, or just be a good social friend that they feel like they can trust and they can really rely on, Father. So pray that us as counselors, that we can do that for them. And Lord, I just pray you just watch over us as we head back home tonight. Watch over us for the rest of the week, and let us have a good weekend here at church and anything else that we get into, Lord. And I pray all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. It's been way too much. How do I get this thing?